I guess let's go back into our initial investigative reviews and work our way through those. So next up would be.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
Sorry to interrupt, but Mr. Stoll looks anxious, and this may be his last matter.
No, actually, I just wanted to go talk to him, and I was going to see if you're going to do one of my cases or somebody else's, so I could just explain to Dr. Cordes.
Which one do you want us to do?
Why don't you go to 2195? That'd be a good one to do. Or 2196?
Let's do those while you take care of business.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, so. Adapt and overcome. Going to number 11, case number 2195. And Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Case 2195. The complaint is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. The respondent is Jeffrey Arthur, DVM. On December 31st, 2018, respondent's premises license lapsed. Despite multiple attempts by the agency to notify respondent of his failure to renew his premises license, respondent did not renew. On January 18th, 2021, respondent contacted the agency to address the lapsed premises issue. He thought he had eventually submitted the complete renewal form along with payment, but when he attempted to renew for the current renewal cycle, the premises did not exist. On February 17th, 2021, the board voted to open an investigation due to respondents continuing to provide veterinary services through his lapsed premises license. On February 23rd, 2021, the respondent renewed his premises license. No fees were necessary to renew for this renewal cycle. And this matter did not go in front of the investigative committee. Directly back to you for review.
Okay, we have. This look like anybody's appearing for either. So, in the case of 2195, Ms. Solomon, you are the.
Yes, yes, Mr. Chairman. This and the case following are somewhat similar as far as licenses lapsing. And I would propose that we consider not only recovering the fees that would have been assessed had the proper licensing been done, but I would also propose that we enter into a CA that starts elevating penalties, giving a 30-day grace period after renewal, and if you think it should be longer, Victoria, please let me know, 60 days.
I'm not sure what you mean by the grace period, for just people in this situation?
Yes, yes, who have lapsing, who say, oops, I got it, it was a month late.
And made the payment.
Pardon? Oh, no, not in this case. Okay. I'm saying now I'm talking about general parameters in order to what would apply to this case.
It's unwritten, but we were to do that.
It's in the law that they have the 1 month grace period, so it expires December 31st. They right. have through the end of January. That's the grace period.
Okay. What I'm looking at is like greater than 30 days, but less than a year. It would be an additional $100 penalty. If it's greater than 1 year or greater, but less than 2 years, it would become a $200 penalty.
That would be restructuring our laws and rules. All we can do is penalize these two right here, right now.
Right, for this right, reaction. Right, okay. Yeah, this is the premise I'm kind of, would be kind of going on, and I wanted to hear from the board on whether they would be supportive.
Here's why, but I mean, I think you have to do the CA.
Right, we have to offer it.
You got to do the consent agreement so you can, you know, find the violation that they didn't pay their dues. So I had restitute the, or pay a civil penalty, or a better way to word it, pay a civil penalty equal to the fees that they missed paying plus $100.
Yes. On this particular case, it would be beyond the $100. I believe it would be from, it lapsed on 2/1/19, if I'm correct? In the other case, it lapsed, yeah, on 2/1/19. And it got renewed,
It never got renewed.
It never got renewed. We approved it, did we not?
No.
No, we didn't.
He renewed for this next cycle. He missed a whole cycle.
Right, right, that's.
Practiced 2 years.
Yes, 2 years. So in that case, I would propose a civil penalty of $200, or the restitution of the missed fees plus $200.
Was he just raising any?
Because it's 2 years, not one.
Because you could go without it if you wanted.
I don't think that would constitute inappropriate.
I do think that there's some level of ownership that isn't being taken here, in that I can see how mistakes happen. You think you renewed something and you didn't. I get it, but this case had been reached out multiple times, multiple attempts, and it was disregarded, and that's where I go, this cost the state a lot of money. I mean, from board and staff resources to hearing this case to, I mean, there's a lot that goes into this, and getting away with just paying the past due fees seems to me unfair to those of us that do actually pay and are in compliance every year, you know, the incentive to stay in compliance.
That's why I brought it, you could go to $1,000.
I mean, I just, and not.
For each count, you go to $1,000.
Really not paying enough to even appear and explain what happened. I feel like it's just a disregard for, but I could be wrong, I've never met this person, I just feel like it's.
I can't imagine getting multiple calls and emails and everything from the director and just the.
Well, and if you want to say, well, point to proof that somebody's not paying attention, how full does your voicemail have to be full where someone, nobody else can leave you a message? You're not paying attention to it, right? You're not taking care of it. So you're not taking care of that, you're not taking care of the thing. I mean, just.
That happens to me all the time.
Well, okay, well, you're a little more popular than I am. So I wouldn't necessarily told that on a recording here, but okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just offer, if I could, a perspective of history. I don't remember this exact situation occurring, but I know in the past the board found a violation for a mobile unit vet who had been practicing without a premises license, had been told multiple times you need to get a premises license, and did not, and had a board order for $1,000. So that was quite a while ago.
Set the precedent.
They got a break on their license fee, so maybe.
Well, yeah, they didn't pay this year, so it's yeah. It's a lot. So it's really like only 800.
Yeah, exactly.
So the section would be under, the violation would be, because we're going to be offering a CA, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that would be under premises. Mr. Harris, do you have a quick reference?
Yeah.
I think what it would be is a violation under 2232 as it relates to the board's essential failure to timely renew. I don't think there's a specific provision under the premise.
Oh, okay, that's why I've been funded.
Violation is practicing without a license.
Right.
And that's not true. No, because nothing to tie that to. Do you agree?
Yeah, although, you know, yeah. I guess that's right, yeah.
So 2232-18?
I think it's on the, it'd be under the premises section.
I couldn't, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think it's 3222 71A.
71A?
A person should not provide veterinary services, yada, yada, to the public without a license issued by the board.
So, 3222 71A.
Yeah, if you could, you know, I would still think that we may want to connect it to 3232 18 as it relates to.
Yes.
3232 18 for lapsing.
Well.
You kind of thought this was going to be a simple one, right?
Mr. Stoll did too, he's already done it. Little did he know.
I know.
What did you, Tracy just pointed out, 74. And in particular.
Oh, there you go.
Number nine.
You're right, Tracy.
Yeah.
Number nine, possibly?
Number nine, failure of responsible veterinarian to maintain a current premises license to, that's it.
That's the right one, because that's a disciplinary action.
So strike the other two?
Correct.
And it would be 32, 22, 74, 9.
Eight, 9, yeah.
Eight, 9.
I'm sorry, letter A.
Letter A. A.
Yeah.
9.
Correct.
Okay. A is in alpha. Okay, got it, thank you. I'm sorry, masks make it even more difficult for me to be here. Okay, so, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we offer a consent agreement, finding a violation of 3222 74 A9 for a failure to maintain the premises license, that it include the recovery of the fees that would have been paid, and as well as, I'll go with it, a $1,000 fine.
Great.
What's that?
Be brave.
I am.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor, a second to offer consent agreement, finding the violation of 3222 74 A9. Payment of the delinquent fees plus $1,000 fine.
Yes.
Or civil penalty.
Civil penalty.
And that would be in 60 days, 90 days?
Paid within 30 days, since they seem to need a time schedule. Paid within 30 days, or it goes to an informal?
I get paid within 30 days or go to an informal.
Well, it would, yeah, it's.
Accepted. Accepted within 30 days, paid within 60 days. Or goes to an informal.
Yeah, accepting the CA within 30 days and payment within 60 days. Yes. Or it goes to an informal.
Yes.
So that's part of the motion. Yes? That's good? Does the second agree with that amendment?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, motion on the floor. Any second? Any further discussion? We're doing a penalty here. Let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Hundred?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Logie?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And then, Mr. Chair, members of the board, could we entertain a follow-up motion to adopt the findings of fact that support in the investigative report as the findings of fact that support the violation?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we find the, that we adopt the investigative division reports, finding of fact, is our findings of fact and the conclusions of law.
In support of the conclusions.
In support of the conclusions of law, because we already identified that section.
Thank you.
Okay, motion.
Second, anybody?
Second.
And a second.
Thank you.
Do another roll call. All in favor, or go ahead, roll call.
That's right, our roll call.
Aye.
Multitasking, Ms. Kreiner?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Heinrich?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohey?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
In the interest of time, for the next case, can the motion be ditto?
Yes, I move ditto.
But let's actually adopt findings of fact first.
Okay.
And then we can.
Let's do it the right way.
Do, oh, gotcha.
You got a little out of second attempt.
Okay.
All right, so the next up is the 2196.
Yes, sir.
So can we move to adopt the investigative division reports, findings of facts?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the investigative reports finding of fact as our finding of fact. And can I add to the conclusions of law now or separate?
Yes, because we get it. Thank you.
Second.
And a second.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? So roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Kreiner?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Heinrich?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohey?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
All right, so that motion passes.
And the conclusions of law being violation of 3222.74A9 for failure to maintain licensed premises, and that the offer of CA that includes restitution for the unpaid fees for the time during which the license lapsed, as well as a $1,000 civil penalty, since this was a multiple offender.
Second. Motion on the floor, a second. Is there any further discussion?
Thank you.
Seeing none, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Kreiner?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Heinrich?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohey?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Okay, so that concludes us to. We have our next.
We still need to offer. Do we offer the consent agreement? Did I just miss all?
Oh, yeah. And offer the consent agreement?
Yeah,
I said offer consent.
You said ditto.
Ditto. So okay. 30 days to sign the CA.
I'll look for that in the next draft of the.
It's in the recording.
You said ditto and I said ditto.
Yeah.
Ditto to your ditto.
Thank you.
Okay, next schedule is a informal at 12:30, so we've got time. We've got a break before that too. So we got a little time before that. So let's keep rolling down. Should we ask Mr. Stoll what he wants to do next, or should we just sit down?
I'll defer to the chair. Thank you,
so let's go back down and start at the top. We left off number 7, 20, case number 2131 in regards to Cynthia Gordon to DVM. Tracy, introduce the summary, please.
Sure. Case 2131, the complainant is Bobby J. Ackerhausen, and I'm spelling it as Cynthia Gordon, DVM. On August 25th, 2020, Teddy Ackerhausen and an 11-and-a-half-year-old male Shih Tzu was presented to respondents associate for coughing and gagging. Diagnostics were performed. Collapsing trachea and early heart disease was suspected, and the dog was discharged with prednisone and selenium. On September 2nd, 2020, the dog was presented to respond with breathing issues. Radiographs were repeated and pneumonia was suspected. The dog was discharged with clavulanate. Later that evening, the dog passed away. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded, the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
We have no respondent, Mr. Stoll monitoring.
Yes, sir.
And no complainant. And Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yeah, so upon looking at the case, sorry, hold on, I'm gonna get over to my notes here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. So upon looking at the case, I think it's one of those situations where I was incredibly thrilled that there was any crap being performed. But it's also one of those cases where Cindy Crosby told the medical professionals what they already knew. And it you know, from the complaint, I think that the complainant was upset that medication wasn't dosed prior to the dog going home during that second visit. And from what I can tell, they did everything medically appropriate. And I don't believe that another couple hours of the antibiotics being in the dog system would have done any good. And I do agree with the investigative committee's discussion that even if the dog had been hospitalized, if it's a situation of ours, that there would have been very little that could have been done, even in the best circumstances. So for those reasons, I would agree with the investigative committee's recommendation to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 2131. Is there any further discussion? I guess I'll throw this out there. This is the second case today we have where we get a necropsy, which we're thrilled about, but not the answers that we hope we get. And on this one, I thought this one was a little bit, from what I gather, the complete necropsy was not done at the diagnostic lab. The practice did the necropsy and sent tissues to the diagnostic lab. Because all I saw was the discopathy on the tissues they received before more. So if you wanted to know if you wanted to try and isolate a virus or a bacteria or something, there would be no way, because you put it in formalin, you're not going to be able to find that. So I'm not sure that was the best investigative technique to try to find something, but I don't know. That's all I got. I agree. Dismiss the case or anything more they could have done. All right, any further discussion? We have a motion on the floor and to dismiss case 2131. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And the motion passes. Next up is 2132. Tracy, would you read this summary, please?
Yes. Case 2132. The complainant is Maureen Malengas. The respondent is Sarah Schroeder, DVM. On September 9th, 2020, Mac Kiju, a 6-year-old male multi-poo, was presented to respondent for a new adoption exam. Due to the medical records from the shelter being unclear, respondent vaccinated the dog with Bordetella and DHLPP after getting the pet owner's agent's approval. Later that day, complainant called respondent with concerns the dog had already been vaccinated and thus the dog was overdosed. Respondent refunded the fees for the vaccines but reassured complainant that the vaccines would not harm the dog. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
And we have no respondent. Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes.
And no complainant. And Dr. J, James is recused.
Do you have the recusal form there? I didn't look at it. I saw it, it was in print.
I don't know if I have a paper trace, you might have the paper one.
You know, I don't have one, but I guess I do.
But you do a paper trace, not the fact, all right?
How about that later?
As long as we know you're.
Yeah, she doesn't have to fill it out right now.
If it's on the record, you're recused, recused. All right, so let the record show, Dr. James is recused from this, and Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yeah, so this case, I had to reread everything twice because I thought I maybe misunderstood what this complaint was about. I am super confused. I think that the veterinarian did the best that this veterinarian could have done in these given circumstances. In my opinion, an authorized agent was present and all of the information was reviewed intelligently, and acceptance of recommendations was made, again, by somebody who was presented as an authorized agent. So I'm super confused, other than I think the veterinarian was trying to I'm trying to appease somebody that was upset, again, for a reason I cannot understand. So, again, I commend the veterinarian for doing what she did. I don't think that it's something that she needed to do. And I do agree with the investigative committee that there's no, that should dismiss with no violation.
Second that.
Okay, motion on floor and a second to dismiss case 2132. Any further discussion? I guess I would just bring up a couple different things. One, in nearly every vaccine, you're not going to overdose anything. There's no such thing as a vaccine overdose. Now, if you doubled up on rabies one day after the other, you might see something there. But that didn't happen. That wasn't doubled up on. A couple things that stuck out to me that and we see these in all kinds of records, and definitely it doesn't usually make a difference. But here, when they're claiming, the complaint is, well, they got vaccinated twice. Well, I'm trying to compare what they got and what they didn't get, and all I have here is DA2PP. Now, yeah, I can figure that out. That's distemper, adenovirus 2, type 2, parainfluenza, and parvovirus. Okay. What is DHLPP? Well, again, I sort of from the deduction, I can deduce distemper and lepto, because there's lepto also in that sentence of the parainfluenza and parvo. But if you're going to record something to where you got to go back in that medical record where I need to report an adverse event or whatever else, this is not good information. It doesn't tell me squat. Now, if you give me the brand name, Vanguard Plus, which is, I believe, is one of these. Vanguard Plus 5. Well, then I can look that up and I can see the distemper, the adenovirus 2, the parvo, the parainfluenza. It's all there.
I don't really know anyone though that practices and writes Vanguard 2. Like most veterinarians write the APP or DHLPP, yeah. And then they just know what they do in that clinic, or it's on the receipt or whatever. Like it isn't.
But if you had to report something,
you would know what you would use in practice.
Okay, but would you have the lot number with the expiration date?
Yeah, probably. Okay. I mean, it should be in your electronic system. But what I'm saying is, I don't think that in your medical record when you're writing it out, yeah, you're going to write out Vanguard 3-2, whatever.
Okay. So, another issue I had was something like I said, we see this across the spectrum, the Zoetis sub-Q. Well, by deduction, we figured out that was the rabies, but only by deduction. I don't think that's the proper way to notate that. Anyway, it's easy to look up something with a brand name. There's a compendium. And I'll tell you exactly what's in every product if you have the brand name. Other than that, it's not so easy. I mean, you got to guess at it. Do you know what the H is?
I'm going to have to tell you the same thing as adenovirus.
So one person called it, I didn't know, I was the one called it, and I did.
Add the lawyer to the policy.
So then I would add, so there's a reason that I have in all capitals here for the exclamation point, ridiculous. All right, I agree it should be dismissed, and that's all the discussion I have. Any further discussion? All those in favor of dismissing case 2132?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes, 2132 is dismissed. And that is all the, we're going to pend the 21109 after we do another section here.
After 4.3?
Yes, after section 4.3.
Can we have like 7 minutes before the next?
Yes, let's do our break. We got a break scheduled here. Break before our next informal.